I'm going to read from the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, Chapter 8. Ramananda Roy is speaking with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is text 67. Kyane priya samura pastanamanta eva bhavanti bhavadiya Sivanti sanmukaritam bhavadiya vartam Stane stita shudigatam dhanuvang manobir Ye priyaso jita jitop yasi taistrilokyam Ye priyasam jnane priyasamura pastanamanteva Jivanti samukaritam bhavadiya vartam Stane stita shudigatam dhanuvang manobir Ye priyasa jita jipo taistrilokyam Jnane priya samura pastanamanta eva Jivanti sanmukaritam bhavadiya varatam Sane stita shudigatam tanuvang manobhira Ye priyaso jitati post taisas trilokyam Ladies, E priya samudra pasta namanta eva Tivanti san mukaritam bhavadiya varatam Siyane sita shudigatam tanuvang manobir Ye priyaso jita jipto yasi taistri lokyam Jnane priyasam udapastanamanta eva Jivanti sanmukaritam bhavadiya varatam Sane sita shudigatam tanuvang manobir Ye priyaso jita jipto yasisi taistri lokyam So, I will read the synonyms. Gyane. In gaining knowledge. Priyasam. Unnecessary endeavor. Udapasya. Setting far aside. Namanta. Completely surrendering. Eva, certainly. Jivanti, live. Sat Mukaritam, declared by great realized devotees. Bhavadiya Vartam, discussions about you. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Stane stita, situated in their own positions. Shuti gatam, received orally. Tanuvak manobi, by the body words and mind. Yea, those who Priyasa, almost always. Ajita, O my unconquerable Lord, beyond perception and unlimitedly independent. Jita, conquered. Api, indeed. Asi, you are. Tai, by such pure devotees. Srilokyam, within the three worlds. Translation. Ramananda Roy continued. Lord Brahma said, my dear Lord, those devotees who have thrown away the impersonal conception of the absolute truth and have therefore abandoned discussing empirical philosophical truths should hear from self-realized devotees about your holy name, form, pastimes, and qualities. They should completely follow the principles of devotional service and remain free from illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, animal slaughter, surrendering themselves fully with body, mind, and words and mind. They can live in any ashram of social status. Indeed, you are conquered by such persons, although you are always unconquerable. And Lord Chaitanya answered, Prabhu kahe eko haya age kaha ar, raya kahe prema bhakti sarva sadya sar. At this point, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, this is all right, but still you can speak more on the subject. Ramananda Roy then replied, ecstatic love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the essence of all perfection. So, purport. In his Amrita Prabhava Bhasha, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura summarizes the conversation up to this point, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says to Ramananda Roy, Eko haya age kaha ar. This is the process accepted in devotional service, but there is something more than this. Therefore, please explain what is beyond. Simply executing the duties of all varnas and ashrams is not as good as offering all the results of one's activities to the Lord. One gives up all fruit of activity and fully surrenders to the Lord, he attains Swadharma Tyaga, wherein he abandons the social order and takes to the renounced order. That is certainly better. However, better than the renounced order is cultivation of knowledge mixed with devotional service. Yet all these activities are external to the activities of the spiritual world. There is no touch of pure devotional service in them. Pure devotional service cannot be obtained by empiric philosophy, nor can perfection be obtained simply by good association. Devotional service by self-realization is a different subject matter. It is untouched by fruit of activity. For one surrenders the results of activities to the Lord, abandons prescribed duties, and accepts the renounced order of life. Such devotional service is situated on a higher platform than that of empiric philosophical speculation with a mixture of bhakti. This is verified by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Anyabilasita shunyam jnana karma didavritam anukulena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. Devotional activities, however, sometimes appear to be impure in the neophyte stage, but in the mature stage they are completely pure or free from material activity. Therefore, Ramananda Roy replied, after hearing the last statement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prema Bhakti Sarva Sadhya Sara. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually accepted this verse, Jnane Priyasam, as the basic principle of perfection. One has to practice this principle in order to make further progress. When further progress is actually made, one comes to the platform of ecstatic loving service to the Lord. This is the first stage in technically called sadhana bhakti, or devotional service and practice. The result of sadhana bhakti must be ecstatic love, attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is also called prema bhakti. In the neophyte stage, sadhana bhakti includes faith, association with devotees, and practicing devotional service. Thus, one is free from all unwanted things, and one becomes fixed in devotional service and increases his desire to act in devotional service. Thus, one becomes attached to the Lord and his devotional service. And Ramananda Roy continued, as long as there is hunger and thirst within the stomach, varieties of food and drink make one feel very happy. Similarly, when the Lord is worshipped with pure love, the various activities performed in the course of that worship awaken transcendental bliss in the heart of the devotee. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavitamati kriyatam yadi kutopi labhyate tatra loyam apimulyam ekalam janmakoti sukritarna labhyate. Pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be had even by pious activity in hundreds and thousands of lives. Can be obtained only by paying one price, that is intense greed to obtain it. If it is available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. Let's see. I'll just read this for a point. The two previous verses are included in the Padyavali, an anthology compiled by Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī. Verse 69 refers to devotional service in faith, and verse 70 refers to devotional service rendered out of intense greed. The first is devotional service rendered in accordance with the regular principles, and the second refers to spontaneous loving service to the Lord without extraneous endeavor. Henceforward, the basic principle underlying the talks between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy will be spontaneous loving service to the Lord. The regular principles, according to the injunctions of the Shastras, are unnecessary insofar as one's original dormant Krishna consciousness is not spontaneously awakened, or are necessary insofar as one's original dormant Krishna consciousness is not spontaneously awakened. An example of spontaneous action is the flowing of rivers into the ocean. Nothing can stop this flow of water. Similarly, when one's dormant Krishna consciousness is awakened, it spontaneously flows to the lotus feet of Krishna without impediment. Whatever will be spoken here henceforth by Ramananda Roy, based on spontaneous love, will be agreeable to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the Lord will ask him more and more about this subject. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatundeve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatya De Siddharne. One result of studying our Krishna consciousness philosophy should be that we gain appreciation for the fact that we have an opportunity just to hear and chant about Krishna. We may take it for granted, especially if while we're hearing and chanting about Krishna, our minds are wandering, and therefore we're actually not thinking about Krishna, we're thinking about whatever our minds are wandering to. And therefore, we may take the chanting as something ordinary, especially during japa, which is probably the greatest challenge, to sit there or to stand, and then try to, at the same time, chant to Krishna, chant clearly, trying to hear the mantra, and what to speak of getting any remembrance of Krishna coming spontaneously. So this is a great challenge for us. And therefore, chanting 16 rounds is a challenge every day. Sometimes, of course, sometimes it may be quite blissful chanting 16 rounds or chanting 64 rounds. But often our minds are going here and we're trying to chant, and at the same time we're trying to hear, but what we're hearing is usually our mind rather than the chanting. So here it says, What is the process? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Roy, what is the process of perfection? Now we understand perfection is not to become materially expert at something. That perfection is to realize the fact that we're an eternal soul. And to realize, to meet Krishna face to face is perfection. Now, if we think something else is perfection, or something else is desirable besides that, obviously we'll have to make arrangements, will be probably made by the material nature for us to see if that will make us happy, or if that's really necessary. And sometimes it is necessary. Therefore, Ramananda Roy, first of all, says, Vanashram Acharyavita Purushena Pumak Puman. That first he said, we should have Varna and Ashram. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that this is external. He didn't accept it as the perfection. Now, we don't reject Varna. He didn't reject Varna and Ashram. He just rejected the idea that simply by following Varna and Ashram, we're going to reach any kind of perfection. Generally, Varna and Ashram will tell us what our duty is. So indeed, if we don't know what our duty is, then we'll let this body do whatever it thinks it wants to do. In other words, if we don't think that this body is meant to work under Krishna's directions, either through Varnashram or through the instructions coming into Sipa succession from the spiritual master and his representatives, then naturally we'll do whatever this body and mind dictate to us, or whatever someone else's body and mind dictates to us. So Varna and Ashram is to tell us what this body and a mind is meant to do. But if we just do that, then the result is at least we won't be afflicted by the external energy, or at least to not the same extent an ordinary person is. One can gradually come by fulfilling the activities of Varna and Ashram to become a Brahman. That is in the mode of goodness, and our minds will become peaceful. If anyone thinks their mind is already peaceful, well, that's good. Then you should just go on book distribution, try and distribute books, and then you'll see that's even more of a challenge to see how peaceful the mind is. Or fast on Ekadasi. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that was external, and he goes through many other processes, all these different processes, even the process Yad Kuroshi, Yad Ashnasi, Yad Jahoshi, Disasi, Yad. Well, first of all, he says, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nishoshiti Nakangshiti. That we're not the body. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, well, that's all right, but it's external also. Just like we hear at practically every class, we're not the body, but it doesn't help us very much. Just to know we're not the body. So what? Anything else is new? Because we may know that we're not the body, but we still may act like the body. Because unless we know what to do with the body to realize that we're not the body, we won't actually get very much help from simply understanding we're not the body. We have to do something. That all living entities are forced to act helplessly according to the modes of material nature. Therefore, no one can refrain from doing something, not even for a moment. So we may hear we're not the body, but then so what? What's next? So Ramananda Roy goes through the whole thing, Sarva, Dharma, Pritcha, give up anything and surrender to Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't accept that either. Is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu schizophrenic? He concluded the Bhagavad Gita by saying, surrender to me. Now he says, forget it. it's not sufficient simply to surrender to Krishna. just like to surrender to a superior person, you won't get in trouble with that person. It doesn't mean your relationship with that person is developed very much. If you surrender to your boss at work, you may keep the job, but that doesn't mean you're going to get a raise or that you're going to make any progress in the company. Therefore, Ramananda Roy goes on to say, Yad Karosh Yad Ashnas Yad Shahosi Dadasi Yad. That not only do your duty, not only realize you're not this body, not only surrender to the Supreme and do what he tells you to do, which is a higher status than simply surrendering to your varna and ashram, just like the gopis had their spiritual ashram. But when they heard Krishna's flute, they left it all and ran out to serve Krishna, which is a violation of their ashram. But we don't condemn the gopis because they gave up everything to serve Krishna. But higher than that is to do it, to offer whatever we have and offer it to please Krishna. That's a more constant thing. Now here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu still didn't accept that as complete. But he does accept this, jnane priyasa. So jnane means speculative knowledge, or the attempt to realize we're not this body. All philosophy is actually culminated in understanding we're not this body. And priyasa, unnecessary endeavor, means fruit of activity. Anything we're doing above, simply trying to maintain the body and the mind and the soul together, is considered priyasam, unnecessary, because it has nothing to do with self-realization for the soul. So this is the karma and anya bilasita shunyam jnana karma adavrita. It's the same thing as unnecessary working in terms of either mystic yoga or even fruitive activities, whatever. And this anyabhila, no other desire than to please Krishna. Anyabhilasito shunyam. So this is also giving up the speculative idea, if I get this, if I do that, then I'll become happy. No, we'll only become happy in pure devotional service, according to the understanding of pure devotional service, if we do something to please Krishna without any other desire. So, jnane priyasam udapasta, putting it aside. So when we're chanting japa, we should just put aside our speculations. What's going to happen today? What happened yesterday? And am I going to get what I need? Am I not going to get what I need? Whatever. So just put aside all this anxiety, because that's what it is. It's just anxiety, unnecessary anxiety. When we're chanting japa, just by being anxiety, it doesn't improve either our japa or our material existence. It's just a waste of time, the anxiety. That's why Krishna says give it up, because we're just wasting our time being in anxiety about the future, because we're not the controllers of the universe. We don't determine the future. Like Arjuna didn't want to fight because he was afraid of the reactions that might occur from his activity. But Krishna said, you're not the doer. You're not responsible. You're not going to create what's going to happen. I'm the one who creates what happens. So you follow me and I'll take care of everything. So put it aside. Rely upon, have enough faith that Krishna is God and he'll take care of what, he'll carry what I lack and preserve what I have. Namanta, and then become, so that's liberation. It's not perfection. It's at least liberation. It's the stage of nishtha. We can chant on that level, then we're chanting on, at least we're chanting on the stage of nishtha. It may not be that we're situated on the platform of nishtha, because as soon as we stop chanting, again we're starting to speculate and be in anxiety about the future and trying to, you know, make sure we have enough arrangements to meet all my demands. But at least while we're chanting, if we try to give up our anxiety that time, then we're acting on the spirit. We come to the spiritual platform of chanting. That's called Shuddha. It's not Shuddha Nam, but it's Namavas. Then there's some possibility of actually getting some result, some spiritual result from the chanting. Rather than churning our digestive juices, we can actually experience something about Krishna, Namavas. And then become submissive. Develop the consciousness of appreciation for those who are giving us instructions, some appreciation for the instruction. Otherwise, it's not possible to be submissive. We can't be submissive to something we don't know about or appreciate or have faith in or confidence in, etc. So, namanta eva jivanti sanmukharitam bhavadiyavartam. So live. Krishna consciousness will not be revealed to us simply by mental speculation or some kind of becoming expert at something. We have to live according to what we hear from the Mukharitam. We have to follow the instructions submissively, live according to them, and then what will be the result? Bhavitiya Varta. Stanestita, even while remaining in whatever ashram or varna we're in, stanestita, shudigatam, if we learn how to listen. And then listen about what? About how to utilize our body, mind, and words in Krishna's service. Stanestita, shudigatam, tang manobira. Then what will be the result? That ye priyasa, almost always, because Krishna is not obliged, it's not that we're hearing and chanting nicely and we're just waiting, all right, Krishna, it's time for you to reveal yourself to me because I've heard and chant so nicely. Krishna is not impressed by our expertise in hearing and chanting about him. To actually become sincere, develop the proper attitude is not so easy. To realize that Krishna is the source of all material and spiritual worlds, unlimitedly beautiful and wealthy and wise and strong. It's not that my little chanting is going to cause him to fall down from the altar and fall at my feet. Oh, great devotee, I surrender to you. So, therefore, ye priyasa. Almost always, if we develop the proper attitude, jita, then Krishna becomes, although Krishna is unconquerable, because he is unlimitedly great, jitop, then Krishna, yaisi, taisri lokyam, then Krishna becomes conquered by the devotee. Now we ourselves, we're executing sadhana bhakti, hopefully. So sadhana bhakti means that we're following the regular principles, but where do they come out of? Do they just, pop out of my mind or my heart, or where do they come from? Sometimes that's what happens. But actually they're coming down from the acharyas in disciplic succession. So if we want to make any advancement, we have to become a faithful servant of the acharyas. Find out what they have to say, how they want us to utilize the body, our mind, and our words. Now, just like we have initiation, what is initiation? That we sit before a fire and then we throw some grains and somehow or another, mystically from our hand, all our sinful reaction enters into the grain, into the fire, and from the fire into the heart of the spiritual master, and we're cleansed, and the poor spiritual master is absorbing all these reactions, and we're wishing him good luck. And in order to pay for any doctor bills that may occur after the ceremony, we give him a little dakshin. So is that what the process of initiation is? No, it's a ashes commitment on the part of the devotee who's becoming initiated to take to the process of surrender. That the instructions they're emanating from the spiritual mass, the mouth of the spiritual master, are entering into my heart, and with my body, mind, and words, I vow to serve them. So that's what actually initiation is supposed to be. The commitment to serve the words coming from a disciple succession. Which ultimately coming from Krishna is the process of committing ourselves to being Krishna's servant. Now, the process of initiation has meaning if that's what we understand it to be. If it's just a change of name, I'm not Bhaktin or Bhakta anymore. I'm a certified, devotee. And my spiritual master, I offer him flowers every time I see him. And that's about it. Then it won't be very valuable. It is some value, but it's not very much. Because we can see so many devotees have taken initiation and they've disappeared. They blooped. I don't know if we use that word anymore, but they bloop. That's the sound when something, a sound that a bubble makes when it gets back into the ocean, bloop. So the idea is that the conditioned soul has merged back into the ocean of material existence. He blooped. Therefore, that commitment to serve the instructions coming down to the civil succession with one's body, mind, and words is actually the process by which we can make progress. And what is that commitment? Of course, it's to chant a minimum of 16 rounds a day, follow the regular principles, etc. But that's not the only commitment, although that is the basic commitment. Further commitment is actually to serve the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No spiritual acharya in our line of succession has any other mission than the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is to tell people about Krishna. If we think we have some separate mission from that, then we can follow that mission, but it won't lead us to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or to the spiritual world. The only mission Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had was to help people become Krishna conscious. That's Krishna's mission. And so, we follow that mission. The result is that one actually comes to the spiritual platform. One actually works on the spiritual platform. That's called Madhyam Adhikari. To love Krishna, serve Krishna out of love, without anxiety, Krishna is going to reward us. To cooperate with the devotees and tolerate the things we don't like about the devotees, and not to become overwhelmed by the things we like about the devotees, to cooperate with them for the higher cause of serving the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then to actually perform the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to help innocent people and others become Krishna conscious. And then to give up the things that naturally withdraw our minds from Krishna. That may be different for different people, for different devotees. But generally speaking, most of the material world existence nowadays, most of this technology, whatever, if it's not utilized in Krishna service, simply becomes a distraction. What to speak of our favorite rock music, or whatever else kind of music we became attracted to, plus whatever else may be available through magazines, radio, newspaper, and the internet. So anything that doesn't help us become Krishna conscious is going to withdraw our mind away from Krishna. So if we're serious about becoming Krishna conscious, if we want to remain on the spiritual platform and follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction, of course this verse is spoken by Lord Brahma, Ramananda Roy is repeating it, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has accepted it as the basis of spiritual advancement. So we have to follow that. That means that we have to watch ourselves. It's very unlikely anyone else is going to stand over our shoulder and watch what we're doing. And even if they do that, we'd probably try and figure out how to get away from them. We don't like the idea that someone's going to watch over me. Although the super soul is watching everything we're doing. But we just forget about him, and then we don't believe he exists. We think maybe he went to sleep. It's Chaturmasya, so maybe he took an early rest. Super soul is always watching us, and therefore we should be watching ourselves. We have to discipline ourselves, although it's good to have association with other devotees and be in the mood of allowing them to watch over us. Cooperation with the devotees doesn't mean cooperation with the devotees who do the same nonsense I do. So we get along great, because we both do the same nonsense, and therefore we think it's perfectly all right. We both like the same movies, and therefore we go there for some spiritual inspiration. And we're both like criminals. We're both criminals, so they're not going to tell on me, and I'm not going to tell on them. So that may not be so gross, but generally speaking, we like people who don't tell us what to do. They don't tell us what to do, and they don't watch us what we're doing, and even subtly criticize us. And therefore, we feel comfortable in their association, because we can just hang out. And everything's great. We're very similar because we both like the same flavor ice cream. No, one should actually be interested in watching oneself and seeing what one is doing if it's actually following the instructions coming into Sipa succession. If it's actually helping us ultimately, if Krishna is being conquered by what I'm doing, what I'm thinking, what I'm saying, if Krishna is being conquered, then I become conscious of Krishna. And if Krishna is not being conquered, if I'm following Krishna is not being conquered, it means there's something wrong with my attitude. I have to change my attitude in some way. I have to change my thought pattern. I have to understand things more deeply. I have to accept more deeply that actually Krishna is the controller of everything. And I'm not here to take over Krishna's creation, even in a small degree. And then I should actually follow Krishna's directions. I should know what they are. If I don't know what they are, I may say, well, I'm an innocent victim of the material nature because I just did what I thought was best. Well, that's not an excuse. Prabhupada said if you put a child puts his hand in the fire and gets burned, he can't claim that why did the fire burn me? I'm innocent. So we're not supposed to be innocent. We're supposed to know what to do. And if we don't know what to do, we're not supposed to do anything until we find out what we're supposed to do. So that takes some humility, which is the basic principle of advancement in knowledge. If we don't know what to do and we are not humble, then we just do whatever we want to do. But if we realize we're in ignorance and we don't know what to do, that's the beginning of humility. And then we inquire and we develop the proper qualifications to get the answer. So Krishna says, Amadi vam adambi vam hingsa shanti arjavam acharya pasanam socham stiryam atma vinigraha. So to know what to do is not so easy. I don't know what to do, so I ask my friend, what do you think? And the friend says, oh, I think this. Oh, okay, I'm authorized. Sometimes the devotees come to the senior devotees or the spiritual master and say, can I do this? And the spiritual master knows if he says no, they're going to do it anyhow. They just want your blessing. Can you give me blessings? Blessings for what? I want to go rob a bank? I don't want to get caught. No, we should get blessings, so we should actually find out what we're supposed to be doing. So Krishna says, Amadi vam, adambi vam. If we're not humble, if we're not prideless, there's no way we're going to find out what's going on or what we're supposed to be doing. If we don't realize I'm an insignificant spiritual being, who's completely dependent upon Krishna's instructions, where is there any chance of actually finding out what Krishna wants us to do. We've already rejected what Krishna wants us to do. Therefore, amadi vamadambi hingsa. Well, we have to become nonviolent. What does that mean? I didn't beat on anyone yesterday, therefore I'm nonviolent. It means that real nonviolence is probably explained in the purport. We should do things in Krishna consciousness. Our relationships with others should be in Krishna consciousness. If we don't see others as Krishna's servant, and we don't help them become Krishna conscious, that's not violent. So how will we know what Krishna wants us to do? Because that's what he wants us to do, is to become nonviolent. Ahimsa shantira. And if we're not peaceful, if we're not tolerant, then there's no question of either being humble or nonviolent or not free from delusion. Shantir arjavam, acharya pasanam socham. Then we can actually hear the message coming down in the simple succession. We can actually accept it. If we're prepared to be tolerant, if we're prepared to be engage ourselves in helping others become Krishna conscious, if we're giving up our illusion of being something special, if we're giving up our delusional understanding of who we are, what we're supposed to be doing here, then we can actually hear the message coming to succession and follow it. And then the other aspects of knowledge will develop. But if we can't make that much progress, then how do we expect to realize Krishna? We can't, even the things that are directly within our realm of doing, if we don't do those, we can't accept those, where can there be very much progress? Therefore, what happens, generally speaking, is that devotees become bored with Krishna consciousness. They think it's too confusing, too much philosophy, too many things to do, too many things, too much austerity, too much of this or that. Let me try an easy path. Let me pick up the Ujjavala Nilamani or the Govinda Lilamrita, hear about Krishna playing with the gopis, imagine I'm a Manjari or a gopi, and I'm there in the spiritual world. Why go through all this austerity of becoming humble, free from delusion, trying to help others become Krishna conscious, trying to become tolerant of my false ego especially, and then actually serving the instructions of the spiritual master and other representatives of the disciple succession. Too complicated. Krishna is too difficult to obtain. I couldn't just take a pill and obtain him, so I quit. I'm going to become a gopi in the spiritual world by some other method. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives us, Ramananda Roy, gives us a step-by-step process of coming to the point where we're at, of accepting devotional service, trying to perform it, but now we have to perform it with a proper understanding on the Madhyama Adhikari platform. Then we can actually get some spiritual result. If we try to perform devotional service, keeping our anxieties, our desire to become free from anxiety, our wanting better comfort, or if we want to figure out how the material world works so I can organize my life better, so I can live here more happily, or if we want to get liberation from all our problems and merge ultimately into peacefulness, then we can't actually, we're not doing our activities to please Krishna or his representatives, and we will unfortunately remain on the material conception of life, and Krishna will always remain far away from us. It's simply an idea that maybe there's a God, his name is Krishna, maybe he's a coward boy, maybe, maybe not, but anyhow, let's follow the process and become free from anxiety, free from, find a more comfortable place in this world, understand how to work better, to feel better, and ultimately get free from all our anxieties and feel great all the time. But we're supposed to actually realize who we are, realize Krishna, then we'll actually get the pleasure, the spiritual ecstasy eternally in full consciousness that we're looking for. That's why we come to the Hare Krishna movement, and actually our lives will become successful. So, thank you. Any questions? Yes.
I'd like to ask how to check if our detachment or renunciation is false.
What are you renouncing? What are you talking about?
Like, for example, I had a car and I sold it, and now I think about how it's still it's nice to have a car, so why did I sell it? So does that mean that I should get another car, or should I just make peace with the business?
Well, what do you think? Why did you sell the car?
It was too complicated to maintain it.
So, if we get another car, it won't be complicated anymore?
Yeah, it will still be complicated.
So, why do you need a car for? Why are you meditating on the car? It was a nice car?
Yeah, it was just a car, but by selling it, my attachment did not go away. So I thought it would go away if I just make this decision, but it didn't.
So, you sold it to get free from your attachment to it? So now your longing for it is even more intense. Separation makes the heart grow fonder. Well, the best thing to do is just, are you living without the car? Are you able to survive? Well, maybe you can get a little model of a car. Just get a little model and get attached to that. Then it's a little less complicated. And eventually chant your rounds in such a way as if when the thought of the car comes into being, you know, oh, my car. It's such a nice car. It smiles so nicely. It purrs so nicely when I turn the engine on. Maybe feel so good. So eventually just chant, just become free, you know, just forget about it. Become detached. Think about Krishna is the best way. Think about Krishna and Arjuna riding on their car. See if you can get a ride with them. Yes.
I have a question regarding your mention about changing bedroom thoughts and attitudes and those kind of things and to become humble. And I wonder how to make a distinction between, in one hand, there is a gradual process in Krishna consciousness, and in the other hand, it's like, maybe I don't want to change, maybe I'm too lazy. So how to make this, that it's a gradual, or it's just my choose to not change?
Well, we follow the process, and then it's gradual. If we don't follow the process, it won't happen. So we don't think, well, we don't take the fact that it's a gradual process to the fact that I'm not making any progress. When we become aware of what we're attached to, then we should try to give it up. Now, Krishna is very kind. He's not putting forward all our narthas at once. We'd be lying on our bed completely bewildered by all the things I got to take care of. Usually it's one or two things at a time. Now we even come to the platform, we're conscious of. So then we should work on those things, that one or two things. I mean, there's no need to go to a hypnotist, regress back, find out what I did in my last lifetime. Find out I was a rabbit and that's why I don't like, you know, that's why I'm attached to lettuce. It's not necessary to do that. No, Krishna will is very kind. We chant chant a round of japa, write down one or two things we're attached to, and then work on it. And that will be a gradual process, getting free from that. If we follow the process, the bona fide process to get free from those, then when we make progress in that way, then we'll become enlivened. I can actually do it. I actually have the willpower and the determination and the faith to do it. And that will serve as further impetus for more progress. But if we get some anartha and we say, I can't give it up, then don't give it up. Of course, you should give it up, but don't give it up. work on something we can give up, and that will inspire us eventually to see that this thing I'm so attached to, compared to Krishna, is completely insignificant. But sometimes that may not be possible, to give up something we're deeply attached to. Better to give up things gradually that we're not so attached to, and at the same time try to improve our devotional service. That's why we have marriage. If you tell a devotee, brahmachari, give it up. Don't think of women anymore, or don't think of men. You're in Maya. And you go, are you Maya? And he goes, yes. Don't be in Maya. Okay. They won't solve the problem. So, therefore, a householder life is there, and some allowance is there for organized sense gratification, regulated sense gratification, but at the same time, one should make progress in Krishna consciousness. And eventually, by following the process, one will actually become detached so that one can take vanaprastha and eventually sannyas, and real sannyas, not just formally, but actually renounce the objects of the senses, become fearless, knowledgeable, and pure in one's existence. But that takes some time. Yes?
I wanted to ask, but yesterday you were talking about how we don't have to meditate directly on Radha and Krishna, that we just meditate on the Sankirtan mission. We do this mission, so with this we can participate in the mission. We can also attain the same perfection. We don't have to like strive for direct.
Well, we don't meditate on Radha and Krishna apart from the Sankirtan movement. I mean, it's not that we just forget about Radha and Krishna and just immerse ourselves in the Sankirtan movement, because the Sankirtan movement is not different from Radha and Krishna. How can we engage in the Sankirtan movement and not try and please Radha and Krishna? That's the purpose of the Sankirtan movement. But we don't put aside the Sankirtan movement thinking we're going to please Radha and Krishna, and we don't take the Sankirtan movement without trying to please Radha and Krishna and their associates. Ultimately, Radha and Krishna represent, Srimati Radharani represents selfless devotional service to Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, they go on. Krishna says, Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu, mama nusmara yudhyacha, mayarpita manobudhira, mame vaishatya samshaya. Therefore, Arjuna should always think of me in the form of Krishna, and at the same time, you follow your prescribed duty of fighting. The mind intelligence fixed on me and everything engaged in me, will attain to me without any doubt. So we're not supposed to be lazy, in the sense we're not going to think about Krishna. I'm just going to work. No, Krishna says we should work, but we should work in Krishna consciousness. We should work with knowledge. If you're out in book distribution, you should remember that all these souls out there are Krishna's eternal servants. We're out there to help them become Krishna conscious. Not that they're potential, you know, we look at them as potential donators for my book so I can rack up a good score. Or I can learn some new technique on them. Excuse me, sir. Let me try out my technique and see if it works. No, we should see things in Krishna consciousness, that we're Krishna's servant, they're Krishna's servant. I'm serving Krishna's representatives by helping them. I'm serving them and Krishna's representatives by helping them become Krishna conscious. That's why I'm out there.
So it's good to always remember this. We should pray, like when we are in the Sankirtan.
Well, we should pray. We should pray that we become. Well, there's so many things we can pray. But the best thing to see is with transcendental vision. Pray that Krishna sends someone to take our book so that we can help them become Krishna conscious. We can help them and myself become Krishna conscious. Pray to become an instrument to distribute these books, because that's why we're out there, to distribute the book, not just to pray. How is Sankirtan? I prayed all day. How many books did you distribute? Zero. It was a lot of prayer. Prayer for what? Oh, we should pray that Krishna sends some nice people, take these books, give a nice donation, and engage themselves in Krishna's service. That's why we're doing it. All right, thank you very much. Krantaraj Shimad, Chi Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kijai. Srila Prabhupada, Kijai. Gaur Premanande.